We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'd say it was a lot tougher at the start, the first few days that I started feeling symptoms. That was the hardest. The last couple of weeks, maybe a little bit more, was a little bit easier. But I still couldn't really do much in case there was something wrong with my lungs or my heart. So we had to get that checked out first before I really started pushing in the gym or come on the ice. So all of that has been done. The doctors did a good job. I think we were safe enough about it where we didn't put anyone else at risk. And, you know, I'm just excited to be back on the ice and seeing pucks again.
Boy, the excitement just comes through with every word from Corey Crawford, does it not? That was back on July 25th. When Corey Crawford was talking about the impact of his recovery from COVID-19. And I'm glad he shared those last couple things. And I'm thinking about that when we were talking about Rudy Gobert and watching him in action. The possibility that the coronavirus leaves behind lasting damage to heart and lungs and diminished lung capacity, and the possibility of heart arrhythmia or myocarditis and all of those things. They have to do echocardiograms. They have to do all sorts of exams to make sure, obviously, that some of these well-maintained professional athletes are ready to do what they do. But we saw him out there stopping pucks. We're looking forward to having a conversation just a few moments with Kevin Weeks of NHL Network. And I'm waiting to see, and maybe my finely trained eye is not that of a Jay Zawoski or a hockey expert, but just to see what the effect is of the virus and of attention to the virus, of concern about the virus on the actual quality or style of play. My guess is that, like basketball, they will be sort of back out there doing what they do. And I'm looking at NHL.com. Then they had all of their experts take a look at the remaining games, the teams that are setting up for these playoff series, and their predictions. They had 16 different people make their projections, and one out of 16 had the Blackhawks beating Edmonton. So I don't know if that is indicative of anything specific, but one, just one of 16 said that that's going to be a Blackhawks upset. I guess it would be more of an upset than people are trying to imagine. But again, we have puck luck. We have the overall randomness of hockey. There's keeping you up to in the information for baseball. The latest, Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic. He says the Brewers are working out at Miller Park shortly. They have not had any contact with the Cardinals. The Cardinals are getting tested again today. And there's some mordant humor being had with this idea of the Marlins COVID bus being driven back, and people talking about some dystopian Mad Max aspect of just a bus full of COVID infected players, like it's some sort of horrible science fiction story. And good Lord, how did we get here? How did we get to whatever this is? Because we're here, and I think we're going to have the NBA. I think we'll be okay with that. We know that golf is back, and we've got that. But baseball is going to have a difficult time. Andrew Brandt, who covers the NFL, said it's easy, relatively, to postpone baseball games. You can do that. You can postpone a baseball game. You got a game the next day. You come back to certain cities. You can play these seven-inning doubleheaders. What do we do if the NFL has to postpone a game? What do we do if we get up to a game and all of a sudden there's a couple positive tests and everybody's got to go home for 2 weeks? You know, how's that going to work? How is it going to work if you end? Are you going to have an eight-game season ultimately? Are you going to try to scramble and figure out some sort of bubble tournament? I saw that floated as well. Just a one-and-done NCAA-style tournament for NFL and make sure once you're out, you're out. And then as you eliminate teams, you have fewer groups that you have to worry about keeping healthy. I don't know. Baseball is showing us that the same thing that Dr. Fauci has said, Dr. Anthony Fauci, over and over and over and over again, has said, we are not in charge. No one doing any of the planning is in charge. The virus is in charge. The virus is in charge. And there are all the reports out today of the choices that were made are really damning about what we could have done and how we could have done it and what powerful people decided was not in their best political interest to do because of the states that were being affected, the populations that were being affected early. It's really unfortunate that we're still in the middle of all of this when smarter, nicer countries and people have solved it, but we have not. This said Marlin's COVID bus is a good fantasy name, says the 847. And the 309 says, overheard on the Marlins COVID bus. What a day. What a lovely day. Yeah, it's his, whoever is keeping track and whoever's writing this, whoever wants to actually sometime make the definitive movie about all of this one way or another, whether it's fictionalized or not, you're not going to have to do much. You're not going to need a whole lot of poetic or literary license to make this thing into sci-fi. And the 608 texter says, we're going to end up having NFL football every night of the week with makeup games. Yeah, you can't do that. You really can't do that. It's not there's too much that goes on with pulling off the military operation that is an NFL game. The number of people, even if you're down to the bare minimum of people, the sheer numbers, if you're talking about the television production of it and the game itself and all your medical people and everybody, you can't just say, oh yeah, well, we're moving it up, we're doing it Wednesday night, we're going to do it at this building instead of that building. It's just not as flexible. And unless the NFL now wants to decide that they want to convene everybody in one place, that's why I actually thought, truth be told, I thought it was, there was some hubris in the way the Bears were presenting their safety, their facility, and saying, well, we're doing everything, that we have the best facility in the NFL and we have the best way of keeping everybody safe. And like, what do you know? I don't think that anybody really understands what they're doing because they're not in charge, and most people in these situations don't know what they don't know. And that's why baseball is flailing right now. And that's why any of these unbubbled sports are going to be struggling. Kevin Weeks is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. He of the NHL Network and NHL.com. He's going to be a part of the extensive playoff coverage, including NHL Tonight. 7 qualifying round games beginning this Sunday at 7 with the Blue Jackets and the Maple Leafs. And he's with us now. Kevin, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Good morning. Yeah, we're a day closer to one day out right now, so 'twas the night before Christmas all over again, you know?
Well, from what you've seen, how do you expect the quality of play to pick up?
I think it'll be exactly that. I think it will pick up. I mean, from what we've seen and what you're asking of the athletes, given what's happened in a four-plus-month pause towards the end of the season, that's a tall ask in the midst of a global pandemic and uncertainty. But they've come back, and, you know, our players are among the best athletes in the world. Many of them are in the best athlete category, considering what they do on skates and on ice. And they're hyper committed to the craft and the sport. So I give them a lot of credit for what they've been able to sacrifice, the time that they put in to get ready to resume play. A lot of them are very excited about it and the opportunity of having a chance to hoist Lloyd Stanley's Cup.
I'm amazed that Corey Crawford was able in the exhibition game on Wednesday night to look as close to normal as he did. I know it was exhibition hockey, but he stopped the 11 shots that he saw. This is after he's recovered from COVID. It is after he's had his heart and lungs checked and after he's been out of action. It's pretty remarkable for him to even be at this point that he feels able to get back between the pipes.
Yeah, no question. The guy that they call Crow in Corey Crawford, I think it's, I've just been a really big Corey Crawford fan. He was in the American League for a long time. He was overripe. He more than earned his opportunity to be up in the NHL. He's been the backbone of that franchise in a different way. And I just think the bigger the game, the bigger he's played. He's a gamer. The boys love playing in front of him. The goalie coaches, Stefan Waite before, and now his brother Jimmy Waite, have done an outstanding job. Think of what Jimmy Waite's had to do with him in this short amount of time. And certainly within the last, say, year and a half or two seasons with some of the injuries that Corey's had and he's battled back. And, you know, they're a fortunate, really shrewd move to get Robin Lehner in the offseason, who came in and he was great because it gave Corey the opportunity to get healthy and then to rediscover his game and find his form, which he was able to do, especially coming down the stretch. So the other night, you know, I've been on several different Chicago platforms, including yours now, and people are like, well, what's going to happen? How's Crow going to look? I mean, he looked great. He looked like he didn't even miss a beat. And also, too, it was nice that Malkin was able to go in there and play well. So I think this kind of swings the balance now in this series with Corey Crawford coming back in. And I know from speaking to people in Edmonton, they recognize his resume. And for a lot of you Hawks fans, you know, what's pretty remarkable is you think of a franchise, an original six franchise with that much history and tradition, and the fact that he's their all-time winningest goalie in the playoffs. I mean, like, that's a head-scratcher. It really is. So they're in a good situation. I'm happy to see him back. I'm a big fan of Crow's. I'm happy to see him back.
We talked last time during the middle of quarantine about the difficulty in general that goalies would have in staying sharp, because obviously someone can go skate on their own and they can make sure that their conditioning is okay and they can cut and they can shoot, they can do what they want. But goalies need extra people around them to give them the looks that they need to stay sharp. Do you think goaltending in general is going to lag, or do you think they've had enough time to get back up to sharpness?
That is the maybe $1 billion, maybe $1.5 billion question. You know, from speaking to different guys around the league, I spoke to Carter Hart, the young stud of the Philadelphia Flyers, Freddie Anderson, their trusted ace in Toronto. I said, guys, how are you guys feeling? Did you guys see anything different? Were your sight lines different? Because Ryan Callahan, a longtime NHLer, and he's with us on the NHL Network, he had posted something on Twitter wondering if the sight lines were going to be different without fans in the stands and having the branded tarpon. So I thought it was a great observation by Callie. So to that end, I ended up following up with those guys, those two, and they said that they felt great. They didn't notice anything different from that standpoint. But, you know, it's going to be a case-by-case basis. Speaking of France John, the goalie coach in Tampa, who's done an amazing job with Vasilevskiy, who's a Vezina winner, as you know, and a Vezina Trophy finalist again. I asked him, I said, France, what was your kind of approach to this? He said, you know what, Weeksy, I really went back to basics, like primary school, like learning how to, you know, read and write and addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, like that basic. We started skating. We were doing a lot of our crease movement, goalie-specific crease movement and skating on their feet and on their knees. And we just slowly went through our progressions from there. Obviously, in watching Vasilevskiy the other day against Florida, he looked like himself. He looked great. But I'm curious to see. It'll be a case-by-case basis. From what I've seen, for the most part, though, the guys have looked good. They've looked locked in. And, yeah, there might be the odd little misread or maybe a little bit of a timing issue or a miscalculation. But for the most part, I'm blown away by how good the guys look, and I'm also blown away by how good the goalies look right now.
You mentioned that Crawford's return might shift the balance of this series positively for the Blackhawks. Well, your compatriots at NHL.com, for the most part, don't really seem to agree. There were 16 polled as to their predictions for this opening round. Only one of 16 predicted a Blackhawks upset of the Edmonton Oilers. So this would look to be a steep challenge if we're actually breaking down some of these matchups.
Well, I mean, hey, listen, you know, the games are never played in paper or in our studios. What we do is we break them down, and different people break them down in the offices. But the people that go out and make hay are the great athletes on the ice. And I would say this, you know, coming into this series, I've been asked numerous times, and I got to tell you, I really have a lot of respect for what Edmonton finally was able to do. And I say finally because It seems like it's been 800 years since they've been able to get it together and build a deep team, especially having all these great draft picks that they've had over the years. Now, we know that they got to the Cup final and played well against Carolina, which they ended up losing. But nonetheless, all that to say, they have a deep team. I spoke to Wayne Gretzky earlier in the season at Madison Square Garden. He's like, Weeksy, our team's deep right now. We've got a deep team right now here in Edmonton. And when that comes from Wayne Gretzky, I mean, that's the tip of the top of the mountaintop, really. That's the summit. So in saying that, they are a deeper team. They're great on special teams. Best power play in the league, at times best penalty kill. It's inside the top five. You know, they have four lines now. Draisaitl's likely going to win the MVP. If not him, it'll be Panarin. And they have another guy by the name of Connor McDavid. So I love their team. I really do. But in saying that, the Hawks, to me, as I told you guys, I don't bet against superheroes. I'm smart enough not to bet against superheroes. And you have superheroes in that team. You have who's going to be the best American-born player in the history of the NHL, and Patrick Kane, fastest American-born player to 1,000 points. You have Jonathan Toews, another walking Hall of Famer, who's still an excellent player. You have Duncan Keith, who looks like he might do a little bit of a duet between being who he is on the ice and being in the WWE with the hair he's rocking right now. But he's ready to go nonetheless.
Yeah, and the social media stuff. He's really out there with some wacko social media posts.
Yeah, he's all of a sudden he's got a little Undertaker in him, but that's okay. From the WWE, but that's okay though. No, you know, honestly, he's healthy again. And then you have the other young defenseman in that core. And everybody sleeps on Kubalik, don't ask me why, 30-goal guy in his rookie season this year. And DeBrincat hasn't even fully hit his stride this year. So all of that to say, and then you have a healthy Corey Crawford. But when you can glean from the experience, which is why I mentioned swings the balance a little bit, when you can glean from the experience of a lot of those guys, your core guys that have been, you know, the 1, 2, 3 Stanley Cups, the majority of those guys with that group have won 3, I mean, that's pretty telling, and that's pretty helpful, especially in a short series. So that's why, for me, I feel very strongly about the Hawks team, and not to take anything away from Edmonton, but I think it makes this matchup closer than people would have thought.
When I was watching the NBA games last night, I was seeing some guys who were sucking wind a little earlier than they might otherwise. You saw some hands on hips. You saw some guys maybe a little slower to get back on defense because you can't really replicate game speed no matter how you try. What does this mean for NHL coaches as far as time and frequency of shift changes? Because there could be some real dangers of some odd man rushes and some difficult, precarious situations at the end of some of these shifts.
Yeah, there could be. Yeah, no question. I mean, that's a lot about the coaching is going to go right now is the coaches are going to have to be a lot more attentive and a lot more observant. And what I mean by that is now more than ever, you're going to have to coach the person and the player at the same time. And when I say the player, now you have to look at what you're observing. Like you were just saying, are you notice the player looks a little, do they look a little tired? Do they look a little bit, do they get nicked up on a play? You know, because this is a different time cycle that we've ever had in the history of our league. Now you're coming off of a resumption after a 4-month pause after completing, you know, 90% of a regular season or whatever it was. Like, this is a whole different ask. And our bodies and the players' bodies, I should say, are all attuned to the calendar cycle throughout the calendar year. So now you're asking something very, very different. So all that to say, the coaches, are going to have to look for those little nuances. Also, they're going to have to observe the players. There's some players that, you know, have a spouse and or a significant other that's expecting. Are they in a first trimester? Are they in a second? Are they in a third? The players aren't there. You know, do they have an older family member that could be health compromised, a parent, a grandparent? You know, do they have a sister or brother who maybe is stuck overseas and haven't, because of the borders, may not have had a chance to get back to their home state or their home country or whatever the case may be, home city. So all these are different things that are factors right now that coaches are going to have to manage. And, you know, I've spoken to different coaches around the league, from Craig Berube to Todd Reirden, Jared Bednar, too many to mention, Joel Quenneville, John Cooper. And every single one of them said, you know, we've got to be a lot more observant perhaps than we ever have been, and also be a lot more flexible. And that's why the expanded rosters right now, and you'll see some young teams are going to go to some of their young players. Toronto Maple Leafs being one of them, with that youngster Robertson, led the OHL with 55 goals in Peterborough. I mean, he's been a star so far in camp, and he played really well in their exhibition game. So Those are some of the things that I've been able to hear from Rick Tocchet and several of the other NHL coaches around the league I've been in contact with this whole time, but especially through camp.
Kevin, last thing for you. We know that during the playoffs, fighting is rare because it's kind of dumb to take a penalty and make your team less likely to win because you put the other team on a power play. Now, fighting is insane because there's just no reason for that kind of close contact and more blood and spit and everything to be flying. Has the NHL officially outlawed it, or is there just sort of a gentleman's agreement now?
Yeah, no. The NHL hasn't officially outlawed it. I mean, what we like about the fighting in our game, especially when it's in a circumstance that you're sticking up for a teammate in the essence that a player, an opposing player, takes an unneeded liberty with one of your teammates. So, you know, let's say you have somebody take a liberty with Patrick Kane. You know, that's an American treasure. That's an NHL treasure right there, let alone a Chicagoland or a Buffalo treasure because he's probably that's an NHL treasure. You know, and you don't want, let's say, a Zach Cassian, just as an example, coming up and needlessly doing something that he shouldn't have done physically to Patrick Kane, you know, roughing him up or whatever. So that's what I like about our sport is we have a lot of what I say on-ice security. And I love the fact that not when it's misused, but where it's called for and where it's merited, I like that because it's a deterrent. And it's a deterrent to say, hey, listen, you know what, man, what you did was cheap. You can't cross-check a guy in his low back when the guy's a foot and a half on the boards. You know, heaven forbid that player gets paralyzed in worst-case scenario. So you can't do that. You can't have that. And I love the fact that our league and our players are able to police some of that themselves and provide some of that on-ice security, as I like to say, as a deterrent and also as a little bit of a warning. Hey, you try that again, there's going to be a problem. It's almost like an old grandma. You know, you go visit your grandma and your grandma's good. And she says, hey, as long as you behave, everything is fine. You watch a little TV, make you some cereal, get you some Cap'n Crunch, whatever, you're behaving. But when you're not behaving, it's going to be different. And that's one thing. So we have the penalty box for that. But I also like the fact that our players are able to iron out some of those wrinkles themselves. And it wouldn't surprise me, since the players have been cooped up, I wouldn't be surprised to see the odd tilt. We've seen a couple in preseason. And just with the intensity of the Stanley Cup playoffs and all that entails, it wouldn't surprise me if we did see one.
Wow. See, I would be, if I were Gary Bettman, I would say because of these unique circumstances and because we're trying so hard to be socially distant, et cetera, do what baseball did and basically say, no, I mean, this isn't, I mean, if you're not even allowed to high five in baseball, you're not allowed to pat a guy on the back that just personally, if I'm a commissioner, just for public health reasons and say we can debate this another time, but as hockey resumes, there's going to be none of that. There's immediate permanent suspension for the remainder of the league for anybody who fights.
Yeah, I mean, I could see your thought based on all that's going on with the pandemic, but it's pretty difficult to put a lid on authenticity and competitive spirit too, you know, and that's one of the things that everybody loves about our sport, which makes it so unique is that unique blend of not only skill, finesse, but the intensity and the physicality too, and the toughness that's required to play it. And, you know, it's not like you're saying, guys, this is game 1 through 15, you know, in the first, so let's say quarter one of the season. This is the playoff qualifiers / expanded playoffs, if you will, into the round of 16. And you never know when you're going to get here again. You know, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it sitting in our NHL Network studios. You know, I remember coming into the league and all my hockey cards as a kid and sticker books and watching all these guys and skating with NHL players in the summer as a, you know, 15, 16-year-old back in Toronto. And then when I got dropped into that league, I was like, whoa, this is for real. But everything you aspire to do, and the big part of why most players aspire to play in that league is to lift that chalice, is to lift that Stanley Cup, to get to a Stanley Cup final. And quite frankly, There isn't anything moral, legal, and ethical that most players aren't committed to doing it again. And you guys in Chicago have been able to see that numerous times with this group and this once in a generation, maybe once in a lifetime cycle that you guys had with this great team. So players, you can't put a lid on that competitive spirit. They'll do anything that it takes to win. And once the puck drops, they could be playing in the parking lot at the United Center on rollerblades or in sneakers or tennis shoes. And you'd see that intensity from them. It never changes. It's just how they're wired.
Here's to everybody staying safe, you included. Kevin, appreciate your time as always.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Thanks for having me on. And thanks to all you Hawks fans and NHL fans there in Chicagoland and beyond, around the world, really, that tune in and watch us on the NHL Network. We'll be live tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern, which is 5 p.m. Central. So check us out.
Kevin Weeks, NHL Network and NHL.com. He will be on NHL tonight. 7 qualifying round games, and we're going to have Blackhawks playoff hockey this weekend. When we come back, I want to get to what happened with the Cubs last night and what Anthony Rizzo tweeted, because baseball's got an unfolding crisis today. We'll get you caught up on everything that is going on and get to what Anthony Rizzo's concerns were when we come back. I'm Dan Bernstein. You have the score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Rossi, I know it's been raining pretty hard here all day. Have you guys gotten any word on tonight, the status for tonight's game?
Yeah, they're still telling me that it's that we're going to play. Not sure timing-wise, probably. I'm expecting a little bit of delay, but probably, in their words, not a long one. So, hopefully we get this in.
That was David Ross before the game, obviously talking with Russell Dorsey, answering his question, the beat writer from the Chicago Sun-Times. I don't know what they were looking at. I don't know who was talking to him, because anybody with a phone can call up the radar and look at nothing but rain directly over Cincinnati and the entire area for the entire night. So I told you yesterday at this time when I was looking at radar projections, I know things change, but it didn't look at any point like they were going to get that game in. So I'm curious who was telling David Ross that they were optimistic, that they thought they were going to. Meanwhile, here's Anthony Rizzo's tweet, because he was unhappy that they were all sitting around the clubhouse when it was so obvious to them. They've got phones, they've got televisions, they've got the radar too. And it looked like the game wouldn't be played. So he tweeted, player safety at MLB. Let's sit around for 8+ hours inside the clubhouse. I'm sure I can find that somewhere in the 113-page player safety protocol. That is word for word what Anthony Rizzo tweeted at a Rizzo 44, his official verified Twitter feed. And, man, he's right. He is 100% right, because that's how people are getting it. It's not generally through surfaces. It's not through people just passing you on the street. It's from being in long conversations with an infected person in a closed area. It's the amount of viral load. Shared air. That's how people are getting it. Recirculated shared air, like clubhouses, for example. So you're asking for it. When you're just saying, yep, sit in here. No, what they should have done was immediately, it should have been in the plan to get them all out, covered underneath the stands or wherever they have to go, sitting safely outside of each other. Even if you look at what's going on in youth leagues and in sports around here, just clubs, they're all saying lessen the time in the locker room. Most hockey teams are having skaters just show up in uniform and shoes, and you can only just swap out your skates. The goalies are allowed to use the locker rooms because they need all that space and time to put all their crap on. But that goes without saying. I'm amazed that baseball didn't, or somebody didn't immediately say, look, we got to get away from each other. We are in here too closely for too long, because those are the factors. It's density of population and period of time. It's the amount of time it can take. If you're talking to somebody who has COVID for a little bit, it's not the same as sitting in a room with someone who has COVID for 3 hours. All of these studies in restaurants, when the doctors have studied airflow patterns, who's downwind and for how long they are breathing that air to get enough viral load to contract the disease themselves. They're studying all this. Get them out of that room. There's this note from Rudy, who says, I love that Rizzo's pissed, because he should be. He's absolutely right. It's almost time to bang the season. In fact, it's past time. Says the NFL is absolutely screwed if they think they're going to play a season, but I have no doubt that they are going to try. And he says, any thought of actually trying to play NCAA football is criminal. So enjoy NBA, enjoy NHL, enjoy PGA, and shut all the rest down until next year at least. Well, it may be that every next decision just forces people to do that, but now the reports are that a St. Louis Cardinals player is saying they want to play tomorrow. The Cardinals have the positive test. They're not going to play, tests plural. They're not going to play tonight. And now the Twins are wondering what that means for them. And any other team that has been in the past, or anybody, person that has been around the Cardinals, is wondering what it means for them. This is from Mark Saxon of The Athletic. A prominent Cardinals player informs me he wants to play tomorrow. Quote, can't let all this crumble. Of course you can. And the issue is when you should. That's the question here. Is should you? It's not a matter of let it all crumble. That you knew when you were doing this, you knew when you were putting this all together that there were going to be risks, that there were going to be positive tests, and in some form or fashion, more importantly, you knew that there were going to be people in danger. And if the players are all saying, well, yep, we got to play because we just have to play and there's momentum to play and we can't let all this crumble, I can't imagine that that's representative of everybody involved, because at some point the players are themselves going to say, we don't want to do this because baseball is not looking out for our best interests and this is becoming increasingly dangerous. And even if baseball says we're going to show up, I don't think we want to show up right here. Baseball has to come up with a rain policy, with some kind of postponement delay policy that gets the players out of the clubhouse, because you don't know, based on the last round of testing and based how long it took to get those results, you don't know who's positive and who's not. And that's just me personally lately. I don't like being inside unless it's my own house. And if I do have to go inside somewhere, I don't want to be there very long. And whether it's a grocery store or the Home Depot or wherever I have to go, going to the dentist was like flying to the moon. That was quite the experience. I finally got my teeth cleaned and they're all, you know, they've got these shields and everything, and the people are pointing the gun at you when they buzz you in, and then they put the gun to your head to take your temperature. The imagery of it is really terrifying. It's like I'm not even flinching now when I go to get my hair cut and somebody's holding a trigger to my head, because you can't go into Sport Clips and or Supercuts unless you have your temperature taken. And I get it. I totally understand. They got the dividers in between the chairs and all of it. But my whole thing is, I've got this ticking clock in my head. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. I've got to get out of here because I'm in here too long. And someone's wearing a mask, and then there's an idiot with mask under his nose. My God, the Marianos yesterday. My God. The guy cutting meat, no mask. It's on his neck. Everybody walking around. The guy's on the phone with his mask on his chin, mask under the nose. I don't understand it. I don't understand what you think we're doing here with this concept of being inside with masks on. Also, if you have one of those valves, you're protecting you, but you're not protecting others, because your exhalation is not being filtered through the mask. So anybody with a valved mask, you're probably keeping yourself from inhaling anything, but you're not protecting other people. That's the selfish mask, is the one that has that little valve on it. And the 815 says, Dan, of course players want to play. They don't get paid anything else if this season gets canceled and they know it. Yes, I know, but maybe you want to not get sick and not get anyone in your family sick. We keep making all these plans, like not thinking about these players as like actual functioning people. Well, we have the Midday Midway coming up, and we have an update on yesterday's story, that really important story about the alligator, because you have to know what is going on. I don't even think we had the opportunity to give the alligator a name, but we will have the latest on that story in Linwood. We also have a sentence for a drunken monkey, and we have lost legs and found legs. All of that in the Midday Midway coming up on The Score.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Dan Bernstein on The Score.
We have reached the Midday Midway, and we always start by recapping what we have been discussing. There was basketball last night, and there were statements about social justice and about police brutality, and they were strong statements, and there was solidarity that was expressed last night. There was action, there were words, and there was commitment. Financial commitment, and there will be more meaningful actions and words to this end. And then there was some exciting basketball with some big name players doing big star things, and we saw something that looked kind of odd and took some getting used to, but it looks like they know what they're doing. It's down to the tiniest details. It sure seems like basketball has the playbook for how to do it in a way that perhaps other sports have not. We talked to Chris Haynes, who was down in the bubble and covering that for TNT and for Yahoo Sports. Then we turned our attention to hockey with Kevin Weeks of the NHL Network. Also discussed how baseball needs a plan. And throughout the day, we've talked about the news of the day, and that is the cancellation of the game between the Cardinals and the Brewers tonight because of two positive tests on the Cardinals. And it would appear that the Cardinals do want to keep on playing as best they can, according to some unnamed players. Official statement latest from Milwaukee says, "We are supportive of Major League Baseball's decision to postpone today's game and look forward to playing our home opener as soon as conditions safely allow. The health and safety of our players and employees are and will continue to be our top priority." That's from David Stearns, the president of baseball operations and GM of the Brewers. So we will probably have more information on how this affects other teams with whom those paths have crossed throughout the show. They caught the alligator, and they didn't need to bring in the guy from Florida to do it. Just like that. That was it. Officials responded to this alligator sighting in Linwood, in Lake Linwood, and they captured it. And it's kind of adorable, actually. It's cuter than Chance the Snapper. It doesn't have that that quirky little bent snout. But the Linwood Fire Department says they sent out a tweet, and they said, "We would like to notify the residents of Linwood that Alex the alligator has been captured safely. We would like to thank the neighbors along Lake Linwood for their cooperation." It says he or she will be quarantined for 30 days and then be sent to a licensed reptile park in a southern state. The exact location has yet to be determined. Why it has to be a southern state? Because alligators can live indoors in other places where it can be climate controlled, but that is going to be the next step for the alligator dubbed Alex the Alligator. This has been a strange week for people losing their legs, but the good news is that people have also found their legs. So the first story that we saw was from July 28th. An amputee who lost his prosthetic leg while skydiving was reunited with his limb thanks to a sharp-eyed Vermont farmer who found it intact among his crops. Chris Markris said he went for a tandem jump Saturday at Vermont Skydiving Adventures in Addison and didn't realize until he was safely on the ground that his prosthetic leg was missing. He said, "I think my adrenaline was so high, I was just excited. I didn't realize I had lost it." Markris posted a plea on Facebook for local residents to keep an eye out for his missing leg, as replacing it would be expensive. The post came to the attention of West Addison farmer Joe Marshalkowski, whose property is located near Vermont Skydiving Adventures. He searched his property and found the leg, which was completely intact and seemed to have incurred only a few minor scratches. It was among his crops. And Mark Slowski said, "I was very grateful to have found it without running it over with a machine this fall during the harvest. God forbid the combine sucked it up, it would have destroyed it." So Mark Slowski met with Markris to return the leg, and he says, "I can't thank everybody enough. We kind of take for granted sometimes how many truly good people there still are in the world. Or lucky in this case, because it fell out of the sky, it fell off. You think you might want to account for it before you jump out of a plane if you have an expensive prosthetic leg, but I guess if it's become just such a part of you, maybe you don't think about that, about the possibility of losing it." A Missouri man who lost his prosthetic leg during a rafting trip was reunited with his lost limb thanks to a Missouri State Highway Patrol diving team. Mike Evans of Woodson Terrace said he and some friends were rafting on the Merrimack River on Saturday when he and a friend decided to walk in the water for a while. He said they came upon some deeper water and had to swim back to the raft, where he noticed his prosthetic leg was missing. He told the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, "When I pulled myself out of the raft, I noticed immediately that my leg felt lighter, and then I realized it was gone." Evans said he and his friend searched the river but were unable to locate any sign of his lost limb. He said that the leg would... What do you think a prosthetic leg would cost to replace? What do you think the actual number is on that? And he said it would be too expensive for him, even with insurance paying a portion. Any guess as to what it would cost?
It has to be upwards of $6,000, maybe $7,000. I don't know.
Seven? Okay. I don't know if Shane can weigh in from where he is. $3,500?
Yeah.
$27,000.
My God.
$27,000. And a Missouri state trooper heard about Evans's situation, and he contacted him via Facebook to request more information so he could send a dive team. The dive team arrived at the river 9:30 a.m. and located the leg by noon. It was a happy ending to a stressful few days. So those are the odds of both of those stories ending up with happy endings, I would say, are relatively unlikely. But man, $27,000. Maybe it's got like a drink holder in it or something, or it's like Bill Veeck's thing where it's also an ashtray. I don't know. This is from the New York Post. Most monkeys are no more than about 2 feet tall, but they're known to be as much as 4 times stronger than humans. I didn't know that. That's how one drunk monkey, appropriately named Kalua, K-A-L-U-A, was able to tear through 250 people and kill one while on a rampage in India. This week, zookeepers at Kharpur Zoological Park, charged with re-assimilating the primate for the last 3 years, have deemed him too dangerous to live among his kind and have sentenced him to solitary confinement for the rest of his life. Mr. Takagi will not be joining us for the rest of his life. The alcoholic animal... Oh, we didn't say that. Oh, no, we did. Yeah, I think we did this a couple of years ago. The alcoholic animal belonged to an occultist in Mirzapur, Uttar Pradesh, whom local authorities believe supplied his pet with a regular diet of hard liquor and possibly monkey meat. When the owner was found dead, yeah, we did this story. It's the same monkey. I didn't know when I saw the headline. When the owner was found dead, the neglected monkey, likely in the throes of alcohol withdrawal, took his aggression to the streets, began roaming the neighborhood, attacking people, particularly the faces of women and children. He eluded animal trappers in the forest of Mirzapur for some time before being captured. Kahlua is now 6 years old, was brought to the Kanpur Zoo, where he remained hostile toward female zookeepers in particular, as well as monkeys. They kept him in isolation, and they shifted him to a separate cage. Said there's been no change in his behavior. He remains as aggressive as he was. It's been 3 years since he was brought here. We've decided he will remain in captivity all his life. Don't you think that maybe death penalty is on the table for a monkey here? Maybe. That it's not a human being, and maybe if it's doing nothing but trying to injure human beings, like what our approach is here. It says zoologists who worked with Kahlua noted that not only is he addicted to alcohol, but he refused to eat vegetables and other typical monkey fare. They believe that his rage may have been a result of the cannibalistic regimen the occultist prescribed to his animal. Okay. All right, so we're gonna spend money to keep him in a zoo, and maybe there's some scientific value here, I guess. Wasn't that, what was the movie? Was it 28 Days Later? Was that the name of that really Spartan, like, zombie horror movie where it's a monkey that literally has a virus that they refer to as rage, and then people catch it immediately and become rage zombies? I think I'm remembering that correctly. That it actually transferred from monkeys to humans, and it became a pandemic that turned people into, and they had to, you know, blow their brains out with a shotgun or whatever it was. And there was some
you are
is
correct.
That right?
Yes.
Okay. It's 28 Days Later, and the sickness was referred to as rage. Wow. Again, like I say, 2020, it's all becoming real. That's what's next. That it's not going to come from a bat. It's going to come from Kahlua the monkey, and it's going to be alcoholic monkey rage that's going to infect everybody. Yeah. And that is the Midday Midway. We have odd occurrences happening in baseball right now, with more games being postponed, and that is concurrent with the adoption of the 7-inning doubleheader plan for a reason, because I think baseball sees what's coming right now. And we had one Cardinals player say that we can't let this whole thing crumble. It's not up to you. It's not up to you. It's up to doctors, and it's up to people advising you on what's right for everybody involved. That the infected Marlins players and staff are apparently going to be bussed back on some kind of COVID bus. They're not going to fly. They're going to be on their own bus driven by a robot or something, I would imagine, headed back to Miami so they can be quarantined there. So COVID bus is coming. Not to mention there's a hurricane bearing down on the southeast. And I was reading a pandemic expert, a former FEMA worker, who was describing this as COVID-cane, that talking about how the Emergency Management Association was going to handle what could be a very active late summer, early fall season for tropical storms and hurricanes as they prepare for something that they're referring to as COVID-cane. So, yeah. Everything's fine. Joe Sheehan will join us to talk baseball next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.